The Church of England has been holding its General Synod or National Assembly this week amid controversy over comments made by the Archbishop of Canterbury regarding the use of some provisions of Islamic Sharia law in Britain. In a lecture to legal experts and again in a radio interview, Archbishop Rowan Williams reflected on whether British law could or should allow more recognition of a person's religious identity and values. While a few commentators praised the Archbishop for raising crucial questions over the place of religion within secular British society, their voices were largely drowned out by a storm of angry reactions and inflammatory newspaper headlines.
And at the moment, I feel the level of debate with not just Islam, but with organised religion of any kind is something which really gets under people's skin. Is quite extraordinary and really quite depressing at the moment.
Jesuit Father Michael Barnes is a former professor at Rome's Gregorian University and current head of the Centre for Christianity and Interreligious Dialogue at London's Heathrop College. He told me he's shocked and saddened by the widespread fear and ignorance giving rise to such reactions.
Yes, very surprised and really rather disappointed by the level of reaction. I think what happened was that he found himself in a position where he was going to give the lecture in the evening, which interestingly is one of a series on Islam and the law. And this was going to be a typically Rowan Williams dense investigation of all sorts of theoretical issues. And I suspect his advisors said, this is going to be picked up and probably misunderstood. You need to defuse it before you ever get there. And so he gave us the radio broadcast, which was a very measured conversation. But when I heard it at first, I thought, well, he's going to touch upon issues here which will upset a lot of people. And I think the problem is, in this country, as soon as you mention Sharia law, all the worst aspects of Islam begin to emerge in people's minds. And that's what they picked up. Nobody was looking forward to the lecture in the evening and considering what he might actually say there. And I think it was just one remark. It was one remark in that broadcast, which was picked up quite early on, where the question was put to him about, is Sharia law unavoidable? And he more or less agreed with that and said yes. And that's as far as it went.
Why do you think that this issue upsets people so much? Is it ignorance about what Sharia law really is? Is it prejudice? Is it a genuine fear of losing some kind of Christian identity?
I think it's all of those things. I think there's a great deal of fear and ignorance of Islam. I think there is a very deep-seated concern that we are, and there's truth in this, nourishing a certain type of extremist Islam in our midst. The 7/7 bombers, famously came from our own inner cities. Where I live around Southall, it would not surprise me at all if you had a few little groups like this. I think for a lot of people, it's really quite worrying. But of course, the problem is everybody then thinks of Islam in terms of its worst extremist elements, and they are a tiny, tiny minority.
Archbishop Rowan would argue that in order to combat this extremism, you need to engage with the vast majority of moderate Muslims. Is this a viable point of view?
Yes, it is. It is. And there are plenty of examples of how Muslims themselves are beginning to take on this agenda of much more active integration. I mean, at least in the sense that they are themselves trying to be much more conscious of the role that they play in civic society. Only yesterday I was with a very interesting group of Shia Muslims, and I think this was the first time they'd put on an interfaith event. Normally they would have a celebration themselves for Imam Hussein Day, that was what it was all about. But this one was deliberately interfaith. And I was invited along to give a talk to them about Christianity and Islam. And it was a wonderful occasion. And coming away from that, you say to yourself, well, what is wrong with interfaith relations in this country? This is just so positive. But that is one community, and one particularly, I think, well-integrated and really quite sophisticated community that is able to present itself and to present itself well. you have to face the fact that not all Muslim communities in this country are capable of doing that.
You lecture as well, don't you, at a Muslim college there in London. There have been a variety of reactions from within the Muslim communities in Britain, as you say. What do you think perhaps can be done to encourage these more moderate voices?
Well, I think the conversations have to continue, and people who have got links, contacts with Muslims have to go on trying to keep these lines of communication open. I think there are many positive points to build on. What I think is worrying, that you still have a perception that Islam is something which is intrinsically foreign to this country, that Muslims do not want to integrate, and the fact that they have some sort of loyalty to another identity which is not British, it's perceived as not British and can't possibly be British. This is what really upsets not just a lot of people in the street who are worried about their Muslim neighbours and not being able to understand them. It's also something which is taken on by, I think, a lot of the intelligentsia. And at the moment, I feel the level of debate with not just Islam, but with organized religion of any kind is something which really gets under people's skin. It is quite extraordinary and really quite depressing at the moment.
Archbishop Williams' speech was, in fact, looking at the space for religious rights as a whole, not just Islam, within the country's legal system, wasn't it? Do you share his views on the possibility of doing this, of somehow looking more closely at the legal system as it stands and perhaps renegotiating more space for religion?
Well, he's concerned, I think, with some very complex theoretical issues about citizenship, about religion in civic society. That's his general theme, and it comes up time and time again. What do you do when people have dual identities in some sense? They're citizens of this country, and they consider themselves to be citizens of this country, and yet they're believers within what he calls a community of conviction. So I think what he's discerning always is the tension which exists between two types of identity. I just wonder myself whether in practice he's not underestimating the capacity that people have for negotiating ways between those two identities. I'm impressed by a few Muslims that I've met in the last few days who have expressed a view that, well, they're very happy living under the law in this country. They feel a lot freer than they might do places which they've come from, and they look at it very, very positively.
How much does this debate have to do with the established role of the Church of England in the country today, do you think?
I think it probably has a lot to say to the quite complex position that the Church of England upholds within the country, both as the mainstream Christian tradition and as it were, the moral conscience of the nation, and there's the tension. I think a lot of people will, a lot of Anglicans and Christians generally, I think, will accept that the Church of England has a role to play in trying to develop these debates about the place of religion in society. And I find that a lot of people of faith are quite prepared to say, this is a Christian country. I've heard Muslims say this. This is a Christian country, and that's the dominating religious ethos. And we need to preserve that, because within that sort of umbrella, faith has a place. And our faith has a place. So they're quite prepared to go along with the sort of protective role that the Church of England classically has played within the nation.
What about reactions from the Catholic Church there in Britain? How have they reacted to this furor?
The Archbishop of Westminster, Cardinal Cormac, has been very supportive. Certainly the remarks he made, I think, were very helpful. One of the issues that was around for us quite recently was the whole question of our own adoption agencies and how we could operate within the law of the land. And actually, Rowan Williams in the lecture does draw attention to that. In some ways, I feel that if he'd used that as the example, rather than starting with Sharia law and then gone on to talk in some depth about the relationship between the universal law of the land and the sense of commitment which religious people have, if he'd used that as the example, there wouldn't have been any problem at all. The fact that he brings in Islam, of course, just raises people's hackles.
You direct the Interfaith Centre there. How is this going to affect your work? It must be quite difficult at the moment, isn't it?
My feeling is that there isn't going to be an overreaction. What I have picked up is a slight unease, an unhappiness with the fact that this has been raised at all. I think a lot of Muslims just feel that they are under so much pressure, so much exposure in the media, that, you know, one more row, which was not of their making, just makes life more difficult for them. I think the people who are going to suffer will be those who do, in the Muslim community, those who have a public profile, and there's a good number of them who are regularly dragged out in order to talk to the media and whatever. And they're the ones who are going to be debating the merits of Islam once again, the problems of terrorism, religion in a pluralist society. All this sort of thing is going to come out. And when you get into these public debates, especially the way the media in this country, I'm afraid, is set up at the moment, you generate much more heat than you do light.
And my thanks there to Jesuit Father Michael Barnes, Director of Studies at the Centre for Christianity and Interreligious Dialogue at London's Heythrop College.